I just feel like
how are they going to handle it?
We got to cue the Sarah McLachlan. I'll answer your question. I did finally come around to an answer on your question.
Okay, yeah.
Which is, if you're Andrew Berry, what do you want to hear from the prospective head coaches? Just if Shador comes up,
because obviously everyone's done interviews in life. There's obviously questions that you if you trip over and you don't answer that correctly, there's the whole job interview.
I just want to hear, what do you think of the football, and have you met the young man? If for 1 second you go, a lot of noise around him, okay, you're done. It really is. It's not really about Shador, because I don't know if Shador is going to be able to be the starter next year. I like some of the things I saw down the stretch. I didn't like some of the other things. People who said they didn't see development, I think, quite frankly, weren't really watching the games, because I think he did a lot of interesting stuff in the back half of it, something that I'm more than willing to give Kevin Stefanski and Shador both credit for. But I just think it's like the simplest trip up. I also think it's, you know, hey, what do you think of the working dynamic here? I think that's another one. I think if you're Andrew Berry, I think there are 30 questions you're going to ask a candidate in the first 2 hours. And I think there are 5 trip up points. And I think you can find, hey, what do you think about Jimmy Haslam? Right? I think you can
find out.
Which is
an incredibly hard question to answer. And I don't know that you can go through a whole interview being 100% honest with the Browns brass and walk away getting the job. I don't know that that's possible.
But I think in this case, like the guys that I like, and I'll be honest, when we say leader of men, you are talking Dan Campbell. You are talking Mike Vrabel, right? So it can look a lot of different ways here. I think Brian Flores is a no BS leader of men. I think Brian is a tell it like it is kind of guy. I think the Browns need somebody who can speak truth to ownership, maybe push back on Andrew respectfully within that context, and then speak the truth to the Browns fans. I don't think it's that hard to find. The question is, do the Browns really want that? And I think that's where it's going to complicate the Shador thing.
Well, because
you might want honesty on Shador, and then you might not want honesty
And this is part of what Jason was talking about, that idea that this head coach is going to have all this say over everything and going to have the discussions on that. And I know what Andrew Berry said in the press conference. I get it. I just don't know that I 100% believe it. Like, I do wonder at the end of the day, if Andrew Berry seems like he really likes Shador, is that going to outweigh whatever this new head coach's thought process actually is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he might come in there and he might have the best of intentions of sending Shador Sanders to the curb, and then Andrew Berry puts up the stop sign and says, not so fast. That's not what we're doing here.
Yeah, I think the Browns have flexibility. I don't disagree with somebody who says the Browns have the worst quarterback in the room going into the offseason. Yeah, because they don't have the number one pick. Like, technically, I think the Raiders is a little bit more problematic, but they don't have the number one pick like the Raiders do to fix it, right? There's not an easy fix. So you're either going to have to get creative with a veteran, which gets dangerous real quick, or you're going to have to fall back on this quarterback room and think maybe it's more than we think it is. That's a possibility. Like, the possibility that this quarterback job comes down to Shador, Deshaun Watson, and Dylan Gabriel, that's a real possibility.
I mean, it seems more likely than not at this point.
Yes, absolutely. Because here's the thing. I think Shador played well enough, and I think Deshaun has enough people that, for some reason, still think he can play. I think you can have a conversation at some point of like, all right, is any of what we get, if we maximize what they do, is it better than any one of the three guys in that room? Because that's the thing with Shador and Dylan Gabriel, in fairness, you're thinking, can these guys get better? Can these guys be better than what we saw?
Well, or also, were they just so hamstrung with the amount of lack of talent around us that they never even got a fair shake to begin with?
Yeah.
Because they do have to ask themselves that question. I know fans always look at that as a cop-out, and I'm making excuses and all this stuff. But, I mean, just consistently, go back and look at how bad the offensive talent was around Shador. It just, even Dylan, in many respects, it didn't really stand a chance.
I know we're in doom and gloom season. So the Browns are the worst organization in sports. Nobody wants this job. That's not true. That's you being pissed about where they are. It's the worst quarterback in the room. Worst quarterback room in the NFL. You can make that case. I don't agree with you. I think there's some promise in that room, but I understand that's how you're feeling. But you're also feeling that way because the Browns just went 5-12 and fired Kevin Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
Every little bit, the doom and gloom, there's no way to get better this offseason. Guys, you should expect them to be better next offseason. They're going to be aggressive in building this team. They have some assets to make it better. You can, if you
I'm dying to find out what they're going to do that way.
No, absolutely.
Like, if Andrew Berry's on the hot seat entering this upcoming year, you'd think he would throw the kitchen sink at trying to keep his job and trying to fill out that offensive line and get as many good, talented players as he possibly can. Like, hey, he's got to understand he doesn't have all day with this.
But I think you've got to separate the immediate of, yes, it's a blow to make another change. Yes, there's a lot of failure the last 2 years with, okay, you have options. You went into last offseason. There was no chance DTR was going to be part of the conversation. There was no part of Deshaun Watson that was going to factor into this year because of the injury. You had a complete blank slate, which allowed you to then go do Flacco, Pickett, Shador, and Dylan Gabriel. You have some continuity in that room. That's at least a place to start. Can you upgrade on it? I'm sure you can. Like, I would.
There's
be,
always somebody that pops open.
But I guess the guys, if let's be clear here, if you want Kyler Murray, that's the kind of upgrade we're talking about. Tua Tagovailoa's name is going to be out there. I'm definitively out on Tua. I'm mostly out, but some part in on Kyler. Short King room. It's going to happen. Mm. But like, that's Kirk Cousins. Oh, an old guy that might play one game and might not have the arm strength anymore to play in cold weather. These are the options. So, at painting this like, one, painting it like it's doom and gloom, or painting it like it's just easy to go out and fix the quarterback, it's not. And it's going to take a lot of conversations with a head coach and with Andrew Berry. And this idea that if you're all, let me put it this way.
Yeah.
If your entire offseason and the success that you think will or won't be is based off the quarterback room, I think you should be prepared to be disappointed. Because as of right now, there's no definitive path.
You mean them getting an upgrade is what you're saying?
Yeah, because
well,
guys,
again, think about how hard it is to get an upgrade in general. The reason why they ended up trading for Deshaun Watson and making that big move is that players, even if it didn't work out, players of that caliber don't become open. Like that's the truism of the NFL is if you're going to find your next quarterback, you have to do it in the draft. Well, if you're not doing it through the draft, you're not going to find him. Yeah. He's just not out there. I know we all think that the next Sam Darnold is just going to fall into our laps. First off, I don't know who the next head coach is, so I can't speak to what they can and can't do offensively, but it's not realistic, guys.
216-474-0092. Jason Lloyd says Shador shouldn't be here next year. I vehemently disagree with both the idea and the reasoning behind the idea, but I want to make it a very clear here. I'm disagreeing with the idea and the idea behind it, and I'm probably as frustrated about it because I think it's still a thought in NFL circles.
Well, so what will it tell you if it does happen, though?
What do you mean?
Like, if it does happen, if at the once we stop with the coaching search and figure everything out, Shador Sanders is not a member of the Browns, what will that tell you?
It depends on if I think Shador asked to be traded.
Oh. I hadn't considered that.
This is the fellow that
I hadn't
told Baltimore,
that.
Hey, I don't want to come there because I don't want to be the backup.
It was a very different set of circumstances at that point.
Totally fair. But
I mean, that would be
quite
the move
from Shador. If
Shador
wanted to be here and the Browns didn't want him, I'd be very confused because I think Andrew Berry's why he's here.
I'd be very confused too. I don't see him asking for that, but maybe he had some sort of tiff with one of the... Maybe he gets promised a job somewhere else. I don't know. That doesn't seem likely after this last season, but I'm trying to figure out the scenario because, again, we can shoot it down and say that we think Jason is crazy for suggesting a head coach this would really get in their head, and then why should they want him here? But it's not a 0% chance. It isn't. It's not a 0% chance. There could be a head coach that they'd go with that would say, I want to see Shador out the door, and that's part of the deal. I didn't mean to rhyme that way.
I love when you go full Seuss.
Didn't mean to happen.
Let's throw a little grenade into the show. Jim, welcome to the show. Jim in Strongsville.
Hello, Jim.
Oh, guys, there's so much to unpack here. Listen, I don't think Shador should be a big topic of conversation in any of an interview. I know you guys are going to say he's the guy that started the last game for the Cleveland Browns. Listen, and I know you think that Barry is really high on Shador Sanders. You know what? Is Barry going to bet his job on it? Because guess what next year is? He'd be betting his job that Shador is going to get him enough and look good enough to get him into the next season. That's why this isn't a very good job, guys. It's not a very good job because if you're a head coach coming in, you know your GM's on the hot seat. You know your GM has a hard time drafting players.
Jim, real quick, I think that's the number one question if I'm a head coaching candidate. Is this a transitional period with Andrew, or is Andrew safe? Because I think it's incredibly important with what Jimmy Haslam just did that Andrew isn't on the hot
seat. Kick Andrew out the door and be like, all right, let me talk to Jimmy.
Yeah, like, because in fairness, real quick, I think you bring up a good point, but if Andrew's a lame duck, then it does become a bad job. And you have to add that every one of these coaching candidates have to suss that out. I hope Jimmy's smarter than bringing a guy back to make him the fall guy next year. I'm going to need to see the proof, though.
I mean, this is what happens, though. We say we hope he's smart enough. It almost never works out when you keep one guy and let the other guy go. And we all know what Andrew Berry's track record is with drafting the positions of need on this team right now. They're not very good. And we think we have this cap room to go out and – how are you going to put an offense? We don't have enough draft picks. Even if we put five rookies out there on the offensive line, that's not going to be any better. Then you didn't address wide receiver.
I think you need a value. You can fix. You need an offensive line, and you need a wide receiver. And granted, you have other needs around that. Like you never have enough great players. But like everything that I just said, in one offseason, you can get, especially with three top 60 picks. And
you can do a lot to a roster.
Here's the thing. People keep talking about cap space. They've opened up cap space every offseason. They're going to be able to do that even if they still are suffering from the impact of the Deshaun contract.
Just real quick. Yes, they have opened, and they've opened it up for people like Malik Collins. And yes, Nick, that they've opened money up. Not as much as you think. They couldn't get the veteran quarterback last year because guess what? We got outbid. Yes, they could open up money by pushing. Yes.
This year was kind of the dead year. And granted, next year
next year's going to be too.
They're
going to
push Watson's money back too. They're going to push Watson's money.
It's not just Watson's, Jim.
Year.
It's not just Watson's money too. The amount of dead money we have with offensive linemen it's going to be really startling to people. That number is near $40 million.
Yeah. So take that, Nick. Thanks, guys.
Bye, Jim.
By the way, it's
a weird way to end it.
Shador is one of the three quarterbacks in the room going into the offseason. That's the quarterback is going to be one of the biggest things you talk about, and you're going to talk about three guys. And by the way, Dylan, by virtue of being a late third round pick, is somebody you should talk about. Shador, by being the guy that started seven games, went 3-4 and actually played good football. And if you watch tape,
by the way, both costing about $1 million each.
And so they're also under contract. And
very
affordable.
Very friendly and affordable.
Here's
contract.
The thing: you're going to have to talk about Deshaun too. So I just think, like, all of this is a part of the conversation. And, guys, a lot of these interviews last 8, 9, 10, 11 hours because it's a pretty comprehensive thing you got to walk through. 216-474-0092.
You mean they don't just listen for 7 minutes and then give someone a big-time job?
No, you don't do that. That only works on national radio.
That's it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure we knew.
But you got to have, like, worked for the Savannah Bananas.
Austin,
I think that's if you worked for a really funny team, you're clearly funny. Jason Lloyd says Shador Sanders shouldn't be here next year.
That one's for us, guys.
Do you that little inside job?
That's for us.
Agree or disagree? And somebody around the NFL thinks highly of Kevin Stefanski. Just wait till you hear who it is. That leads off Quick Hits in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.